Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Our series has been Help, Lord, Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2. It's been our text series. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So we spent a few weeks talking about how we see things. This is not just lifting up our eyes, seeing something naturally. This is talking about what we see on the inside, getting a vision, getting insight, light on the inside. And then we begin to discuss Psalms 27, which is a favorite psalm of mine. Psalms 27:13. I would have lost heart unless I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so in this psalm of David, David was talking about that he saw things that were discouraging, and yet he wasn't discouraging. He didn't lose heart because he believed he would see the goodness of the Lord. That is one of the keys to staying out of discouragement. If you believe something good's coming, bless you. And it's one of those things where if you don't see anything good on the horizon, it's hard to be encouraged. But if you do believe that there, even though maybe what you're looking at's not that good, but beyond that, you're thinking, God can help me. God can show up. And when he shows up, I'm going to be all right. And so that gives me some encouragement. So then we talked about how. How did David even get to that place? And so sometimes you look at a verse and you look at it, you take it and just take it and isolate it. And that's all right. But also, I wanted to see what's the process. How did David even get to this place where he was believing he was going to see the goodness of the Lord? So we've talked about different things. Last week, we talked about having a heart for God, that we can have a real relationship with him. Boy, this is so important. This is not a formula. This is not a duty. It's a relationship. And learning to have a relationship with him is something we're all learning about. And it's a process and something we're growing in. And then we'd also talked about just praising God, expressing our heart for him. And that's just something good to do. And I realize if people come from different backgrounds, and I was thinking about this, if you come from a background that maybe is more conservative or maybe liturgical, and you see people and they lift their hands, you're like, what is going on? It's really just a sign of worship. It is a sign of adoration and a sign of surrender. And so it's just part of a worship experience. And if you've never done it before, it might feel awkward, but it still is something where you can just, you know, we clap for people, we lift our hands to God. And we lift, the Bible talks about in the Psalms, lifting up hands in the Holy Temple, or lifting up hands without wrath and doubting. And so it's an expression. So we talked about that last week. This week, we discussed last week trusting God's care and love for us. And this is big. David said in Psalms 27:10 that when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me, which is a great perspective to have that David, and we talked about David did not have a background where he was the star of his family. He was the eighth son. When they had a big feast, they didn't even invite him. And so they just left him out with the sheep and Samuel. But, you know, it doesn't matter if your family doesn't just overlook you or does not think you have anything going on. God sees you. And so it's not, how many of you figured out, it's not what people think anyway. Amen. That's a good revelation. No one in Joy's family thought we'd make it. They did not think so. And I'm sure I gave them plenty of reasons. At 22, I was less than tactful, a little bit arrogant, pretty full of myself. But I had God. And so that helped. And then, like I said, when Joy and I got married, we brought enough baggage into the, we were like an airport. We brought baggage into the relationship. But we did make it. And the Lord helped us. And we had some tough times. And Joy will say years that felt like dog years. But but the Lord helped us. And it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And so we're still going strong. 43, still in love, love each other more than we do. The Lord's good, and His mercy endures forever. And so, but her family didn't think we were going to make it. Her father, when she was dancing with him, the father-daughter dance, told her if it didn't work with me, that she could come stay with him. Thank you very much. Sometimes you just have to outlive them. You're taking that wrong. I meant live a life that they can't argue with. This is a cold crowd tonight, I can tell. All right, here we go. That's all right, I got you coming just in a minute here. I got you. David really believed a lot in the Lord's goodness to him personally. And if you look at his life, you see that. You see that he was very quick to pray and ask the Lord for direction. He was quick to believe the Lord would be merciful to him. I think one of the biggest examples of David believing that God was merciful was when David had that hard affair with, toward affair with Bathsheba, had her husband killed. Right? This is looking like a something on HBO. And then the child, then he married her, had an affair, she got pregnant, he had the husband killed, then he married her, and the prophet came to him and said, here, you're a leader, you're the leader of the nation. He said, you brought great reproach on the Lord for what you've done. He said, and the child's not going to live. And this was the prophet just saying it. Judgment came. And David prayed a week and fasted a week. And in fact, he wouldn't talk to anyone. His servants would talk to him. He wouldn't talk to him. He just laid on the ground. He fasted. He prayed. He's praying. And when they told him that the child had died, he saw his servants whispering. And he looked at him. He said, did the child die? And they said, yeah. So he gets up and he washes himself, changes his clothes, goes and eats. And his servant said, what are you doing? I mean, we were afraid to tell you that the child died. You were so distraught. We thought you would do something to yourself. And David said something that's very insightful. He said, I prayed for 7 days. I'm translating. He said, because who knows, the Lord may be merciful. This was the lady you had the affair with and had her husband killed. The prophet's already said the child's going to die. And he prays 7 days going, maybe the Lord will be merciful. You got to believe God's merciful if you're going to do that. You got to believe He is really good if you're going to do that. And then after, they said, well, why are you okay now? Because he went and worshiped. He said, I'll go to Him. He can't come to me. What's he talking about? He's talking about heaven. He said, one day I will see him again. Listen, when children die, it's painful. It's horrible. When these little ones go, oh gosh, if you've ever done a funeral, it is painful. But I know exactly where they are. We know exactly where they are. They are in heaven. They are in peace. It's going to be okay. And you'll go see them one day. They just can't come see you. And so what comfort there. But David believed in the mercy of God. We believe and the mercy and love of God. But here's some ways that we can get to that place. I want to get to that place where I believe, Lord, you are so good. You are so merciful. I am convinced of this. I am more and more convinced of this. The older I get, I realize God is more merciful than people. He is better than people. People, no. People, but the Lord, oh, He is merciful and good. Let's look at this a little bit. How do we get to the place where we really begin to trust God's care for us? Is we believe the love that God has for us. Let's look at this. 1 John 4. We know how much God loves us. This is from the New Living Translation. And we have put our trust in His love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God. And God lives in them. We know how much God loves us. We've put our trust in His love. So it's talking about this whole book of 1 John. This was written by the Apostle John. He was the one that lived longest. He was the one they called the Apostle of Love. And he talked a lot about love. If you read 1 John, he talks a lot about love. But when we're starting to talk about the love of God, we have to understand it's more than a feeling. And
that's
my man. We are part of the fraternity of very loud sneezers, and I appreciate him right there. That Joy's pet peeve of mine is when I sneeze. She's like, why does it have to be so loud? I'm like, I didn't plan. No, we didn't plan. How many of you are loud sneezers? Thank you. Is it unhealthy to hold it back?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Let's just get that straight right now. Say, so if you come to that church, they believe in loud sneezing. Yes, we do. And Justin may be the champion. The love that we're talking about is, when we start talking about love, we've gotten so confused. We use that word so easily. You know, it's like, I love my truck. I love pizza. I love my kids. Is it the same love? And we've also equated it to a feeling, including the love of God. But here's another thing too, especially with men. We can't see love as weak. Love actually is extremely strong. Because you realize if it's not a feeling, it's not an emotion, it's strong. And the world's kind of distorted it. Love is not agreement. Where people say, well, if you love me, you would agree with me. Not necessarily. Love doesn't mean I'm going to do everything you want me to do. That's called manipulation. And people do that. Well, you're a Christian. You're supposed to love me. When I hear I'm supposed to do something, that actually takes the love straight out of it, because love has a give to it. If I'm not giving, free will, it's not Jonathan Livingston Seagull. That was a big poster in every girl's dorm in the 70s. If you love someone, set them free. If they come back, they were yours. If they don't, they never were. Then there was the Texas version. If you love someone, set them free. If they come back, they were yours. If they don't, hunt them down. We can't see love as weak. The more we practice love, the greater our understanding of God's love. Here's the key. Look at this in 1 John. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. And anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If you leave that up there, it's something. He says, if anyone loves God, I had a professor in Bible school that did this. He said, if anyone loves God, he's born of God or a child of God and knows God. If anyone does not love, he doesn't know God. Can still be a child of God, just doesn't know him. So, because God is love. So we're learning love, and the more we learn to walk in love ourselves. Now this is something, again, you start talking about walking in love, and people are like, whoa, hang on. And yet it's all through the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So it's something that we need to, but I think, again, we've distorted it so much. We've made it a feeling. We've made it something that, you know, an emotion, and it's really a choice. I'll show you a passage here. This is in 1 Corinthians 13th chapter. This is called the love chapter. This is a great example of what love looks like. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. Does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices with the truth whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. I think the next verse says, love never what? Fails. Love never fails. This Joy had this verse, or these verses, she had them up in the house. And I started opening cabinets And pasted on the inside of cabinets was these verses, except it was in the Amplified, the old Amplified Classic, which is even longer and more difficult. But you would open, to get a glass of water, and there was love. And you would, in the bathroom, you would open, and there was the love. It was all over the place. I'm like, what's up with that? She's like, I need this. I said, you need this what? She said, living with you, I need this. She said, this is a reminder. And she said, it just helped me. And we laugh about it, but it helped her. And it helped her because she began to realize that love wasn't a feeling or a reaction. Love was a choice. Ever remember Foghorn Leghorn? My favorite one of my favorite cartoons, the Southern Chicken. He used to say, you're built too low, son. I'm pitching them, but you ain't catching them. Love is a choice. I choose to be patient. I choose to be kind. How many of you know you have had temptations when people maybe out in public have done something to you? And it's wrong. But you're kind because you're in public. Right? It's like, well, that's not how I feel. I only do what I feel. You're in trouble. Because if you only do what you feel, you're in trouble. And so what we learn to do is we've learned social niceties. And then when we get home, we're home. And we're ourselves. Our nasty selves at home. And so, or we're so tired of having to be nice to people all day. Come home, let my hair down. And really, home should get our best. Yes. I told y'all were going to love this. See, you were unkind to me, and this is what you get. But think about it. Well, Joy talked about reading the Love Dare book. Remember when that came around? Love Dare book. Love Dare book came up with something where you had to do something every day for, I think it was designed for marriage. I didn't do it. She did it. And it was interesting. She said, Alan, she said, we weren't fighting much. We weren't arguing much at the time. Our relationship had reached a point we didn't argue as much. She said, but when I started reading this book, it would have me do things. And really what it did was exposed where her love was. She said, one of them was, you need to go get his favorite candy. And what Joy said she realized is she'd drive all over town to get her favorite candy for her children. But she wasn't willing to do that for me. And so she said it kind of exposed where I was. And it made me realize that really love has a give to it. It has a give. And so as we close this, I want to, last few minutes, I want to show you from what Jesus talked about. Because, you talk about love, and like I said, people get it all confused. And they get it where you hear people say, well, you're supposed to do this. People come in our offices all the time and go, we need money. And like, well, as a church, we just don't hand out money. And like, well, you're a church. You're supposed to do that. Those are the red letter words that make us not do it. When you're supposed to. Listen, if someone puts a gun in your head and said, you're supposed to be kind to me, there's no heart to that. But where we want to get to is that we got the heart to do it. You don't have to force me. You don't have to push me. You don't have to make me. You don't have to remind me. It's just in me. Amen. To do it. And that's where we want to begin. But you can get there, but you can begin to practice. And you can learn to do that. And I'm just telling you right now, it wasn't that God just sprinkled fairy dust on Joy and I's relationship. that one day that God said, oh, they have tried so hard. She has put up with so much. He is so difficult. We're going to just, and I woke up. I'm like, well, I'm a wonderful person now. And Joyce, like, I love him now. No, actually, what I realized is that I wasn't walking in love towards her. And so I began to read these verses and then begin to practice them. And here's the deal. It's like anything else that you begin to practice. It's not where you start. It's where you finish. It's where you're going. And so in practicing this, and now Joy doesn't have to go, well, you're supposed to do this for me and you're supposed. Listen, when someone is telling you that, that's no. And here's another thing too. Love doesn't mean that you just do everything what everyone else wants you to do. Or that you agree with everything they do. Sometimes love will correct. Parents, please listen to me. Listen to me just for a second. I've raised three. I got seven grandkids. But please listen. While they're in your home, you correct them. Because if you don't, the world will. And they're hard. When the world corrects, it's hard. When you correct, you can control that. And you can control that environment. I ever say, well, I just love my child too much to correct them. No, you don't. Because if you love them that much, you'll help them so they won't lose job after job. So they won't wind up on the wrong side of the law or cannot make a relationship work. You correct them. My son-in-law was staying with us. My daughter was in with her boys. And I told him, I said, I told Christina one day, I said, your husband will come. He will fall down at my knees at the chair. He will kiss my ring and tell me how much he appreciates how you corrected Christina. And he was like, because I corrected her when she's in my house so that when she got out, she could be a better wife. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Is it easy? No. Is it popular? No. Say, well, I want to be their best friend.
No.
You can be. I'm good friends with all my kids now. After they're grown and gone and out of the house. And after they realize I wasn't quite as stupid as they thought I was. And now they come back and go, thank you for what you did. Thank you for doing that. Now we can be friends. But while you're in my house, it's my job to raise you so that you can do well out there. And that means I told Joy, I said, I'm willing to be grossly unpopular for years. So that later on we could have a good relationship. And It's played out. I got great relationships with my kids. I love my kids. They love me. They love Joy. But we corrected because we loved them.
Yes.
Why are all the grandparents chiming in here? Why do I? I need some parents talking to me. Jesus talked about love. Lawyer stood up one time, checked him on it. Luke 10. One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus replied, what's the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right. Jesus told him, do this and you'll live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who's my neighbor? What he's basically trying to do is, who do I not have to love? They were very technical. He's testing you. Well, who do I not have to love? So Jesus told them this story. It's a well-known story. You go ahead and put the next guy. Yeah, here we go. Thank you, guys. Jesus replied with the story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. He was attacked by bandits, and they stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man, he lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and stood and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. That was basically a pastor and a staff member. Then, that's what it was. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. So let's take a look at this. So this guy goes, Jesus, how do I get eternal life? He said, well, you got to love God and love your neighbor. He said, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus tells him a story. And this is the way Jesus tells this story. He said, here's a Jewish guy. He's going down the street. So you got a priest, a high level. That's a high level. It would be a pastor today. Preacher, pastor. And then a temple assistant. That's a staff member. Someone works in the temple full time. Both of them passed by on the other side. Then a Samaritan came. They hated Samaritans. They hated Samaritans. Samaritans and Jews, they saw one another. If a Jewish man was walking with his face toward Jerusalem, the Samaritans would turn their back on him. They wouldn't even look at him. They hated Samaritans. You think Longhorn and Aggies are bad? No. It's horrible. And so here's a Samaritan who comes over to him and goes to the man and has compassion on him and begins to help him. Now here's something we can learn about love right there. Didn't say the Samaritan had a road ministry where he went around looking for people who had been beat up and left on the road. This man was right in his path. Who do we walk in love towards? Some people think, well, if I walk in love, God's going to make me go to some foreign country or going to send me someplace. No, no. You walk in love towards people who are in your path, people who are in your proximity. So he goes to him. And he pours on oil and wine, and he puts him on a donkey, and he takes him to an inn. Now here's, I love this. He pours on oil and wine, he puts him on a donkey, and takes him to an inn. And it doesn't say the guy's going, I don't want to go to that inn, I'm going to go to this inn. No, don't pour oil on that one. No, love led here. He was leading this whole time. I'm going to put you on a donkey, I'm going to take you to an inn. Boom. Now here's the big one. Next day, he leaves. Oh, love wouldn't leave. No, love left. Made sure he was taken care of and left. Love has boundaries. Love says, I love you, but I can't live your life for you. And he went on. See, some people think if I'm in love, everyone's going to take advantage of me. Everyone is going to run over me. You don't know who I work with, Alan. You don't know the people around. You don't know my family. You don't know my in-laws. You don't know. And what we don't realize is love actually is stronger than that. Love says, no, you can't dictate to me because I'm not afraid of pleasing you. And you can't manipulate me because I serve God. And I'm being good to you not because you deserve it, because it's in me. It's hard to manipulate someone like that. And so if you've been thinking, I don't want to walk in love, boy, if I do that, that means I just get run over. I don't think we've seen love at strength. It's strong. And to choose to be kind, and to choose to be patient, and to choose to not clap back when someone has said something about you, it's a choice that requires strength. But thank God, when you made Jesus your Lord, the love of God was poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit. We have the capacity to do this, but it's like a muscle. We just have to develop it. But as we develop it, remember the Bible said he who loves is born of God and knows God. So the more you begin to understand love, the more you begin to understand God, and you begin to realize how much God loves you. And when you know how much God loves you, then when you hit a hard spot in life, you're not wondering if God's going to help you. You know he will. Amen. Because you've been walking in love. And you know he's more loving than I am. He's the one that created this. He'll take care of me. Does that make sense? Learning to walk in love. In fact, Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples because you love. That's how the world's supposed to know. I think you as a church, us as a church, we're not perfect, but I think we've done a good job of welcoming people from all walks and all backgrounds and all races who come in here. And what that does is, the whole purpose behind that, that shows them you don't have to look a certain way to be accepted here. You don't have to have a perfect background to be accepted here. You can come in and say, well, man, I'm all messed up. Come on in. Because there was a lot of us that were messed up before the Lord touched our life and before he helped us. And so a lot of us, man, we're not here to point fingers. We're not here to throw rocks. We're here to say, come on, you need to come get what we've got. Because what we've got will change you. It'll change your marriage. You can go from a nasty marriage to a wonderful one. Joy and I can testify. Ugly to awesome. And it wasn't overnight. But it's not how you start. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you we can love one another and learn to walk in this love. I pray, Father, that you help us see this truth in even a greater light. And Lord, if I didn't explain it right, I make up the difference. Said your bowed eyes are closed if you're here. And you're saying, you know what, Alan, I don't know that I've ever made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, or I'm not sure. Or you said, I did that, but I've gotten away from him, and I know it, he knows it. And I want to come back. I'm going to say a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up right there in your chair, right there watching online. This is for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If that's you I'm talking to, and you say, man, I want to be sure. I want to come back. I know I need the Lord in my life. Would you pray for me? Shoot your hand up real quick just across the auditorium. Thank you. Thanks. 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 Thank you. Great. Anybody else? Thank you. You put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, you can still pray this prayer with us. If you're online, I can't see you, but you can pray with us. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those. Those that prayed, those that came back, those that have come to you, those online who are watching you and you've touched their heart. Thank you for that. And Father, for the rest of us, thank you. Helping us live more like you. Be a blessing, be a light to all we come in contact to. Thank you for that. We give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.